A service of celebration. Thank you for waving your palms and lifting your hands in celebration with us this morning. I love to celebrate. In fact, April for us at our house is pretty much a month of celebration. My daughter Katie has a birthday at the beginning of the month, and my husband Todd has a birthday in the middle of the month, and my mom's birthday used to be in April, and Easter usually falls in April, and so pretty much we put our party hats on and just leave them on for the whole month. Here at Crossroads, we have been lifting up stories of celebration over the past 3 months, specifically stories of how God has been at work in and among each of our lives. I have to say, you have been very kind to us as Crossroads staff. We have felt very supported and appreciated, especially Todd and I, so we thank you for your encouragement. But I want to publicly acknowledge that we stand on very strong shoulders. The shoulders of the individuals and the families represented that you see behind me. For the past 14 years, Todd and I have been surrounded by the most fantastic group of musicians and sound staff that any church could ask for. They are faithful, they are fun, they are talented, they are a huge blessing to us. And Todd and I could not, frankly, would not be able to do what we do without them. They have provided very strong shoulders to stand on indeed. So would you please join me in showing them love and appreciation? Thank you. Goes back there. To continue our celebration, we have asked two members of Crossroads to share God at Work stories with us. How God has been at work through ministries here at Crossroads, and how God has been at work in our lives in general. So we want to welcome Karen Barnes and Hank Hart to share this morning.
Good morning.
Oh, sorry.
In the book of Acts, Paul's writing gives us insight into the early church, before there were beautiful buildings such as ours in which to worship. While we as a congregation are blessed to have this space in which to gather, it is you, the congregation, that I cherish as my church. Not just this place, but this beautiful community of believers. You are my church. And while worship is integral to our shared journey, it is also the myriad of other ways that we come together to grow, to serve, and honor God that I cherish. My very ability to depend on God has grown and deepened as I have learned to be dependent on you, my church community, when I have a need, and also when I have something to share with someone in need. It is when I have witnessed us being the church to each other that I have deeply felt God's presence. As a congregation, we've recently been asked to consider where we have seen God at work. And I would like to share a few of the many experiences I have had these last few months. I am part of a woman's Bible study that meets here on Monday mornings. We are currently studying for 1 Corinthians, and before that, we studied the book of Acts. Both of these studies have been exactly what I needed when we studied them. While we are experiencing a smorgasbord of different pastors and messages on Sunday mornings, these studies have provided a continuity of learning and growing that feed and challenge me. This safe place is somewhere that I can openly share, question, express my doubts, laugh, pray for others, and be prayed for. I encourage you, if you are currently not part of one of the education opportunities here at Crossroads, explore joining one so you too can see God at work in this way. Through Family Promise, which houses Ozaukee County Homeless here at Crossroads 4 weeks throughout the year, I met the mom of a toddler who in December gave birth to a tiny premature baby. The baby had to go to the neonatal intensive care unit at St. Mary's downtown, and the mom, who does not drive, had no way to get there to visit the baby and deliver her breast milk. A group of women, some from Crossroads and some from other churches that host Family Promise, put together a driving schedule to care for her charming toddler to assure that the mom could go and hold and bond with her fragile newborn. This mom has not had the blessing of positive, supportive female role models in her life. So beyond the immediate needs of transportation and childcare, she witnessed a sisterhood of women coming together to support her, united by our faith in Christ. The baby has since been released from the hospital. She is growing and healthy. The family has moved into an apartment, and I continue to reach out and be blessed by this mom. I encourage you, if you are not currently part of one of the mission and service opportunities here at Crossroads, explore joining one so you too can experience God at work in this way. My husband Bruce and I have participated in the couples dinner group for many years and greatly enjoy coming together for fellowship and dinner four times throughout the year. Breaking bread together, engaging in conversations, learning more about each other, it deepens our connections and our understanding of each other. So I encourage you, if you are not currently part of one of the fellowship opportunities here at Crossroads, explore joining one so you too can experience God at work in this way. In Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, he writes these words to the early church in the first and fifth chapters. We remember you before our God and Father, your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. My prayer is that we, as Crossroads Presbyterian Church, continue to be patient and allow God to nurture us into a community of hope, each of us providing our own unique flavor. He sets a rich and complete banquet before us, and he invites us, but we each need to pick up a fork to join in. So let me encourage you to please come and join me in being the church with and to each other.
I grew up in a house with four boys. I was the youngest, separated by many years from my older brothers. Because of that, I was blessed to have time with my parents as the youngest child to experience things that my older brothers never were able to share. My father was a scientist, a chemist by training, and he worked in business. We lived just north of New York City, and he commuted every day into Manhattan on the train. As a kid, I would love going to visit him at his office because I got to walk through the grandeur of Grand Central Station, take the escalator up through what was then the Pan Am building, out onto Park Avenue, walk two blocks to 270 Park Avenue, where he occupied a corner office on the 48th floor. The view was amazing. You could see the East River off to one side and Central Park off into the other. My dad used to say, "This is a gift." As a scientist, my father knew his faith in absolutes. It was either true or not true. It was either real or not real. His life in the church was grounded in the idea that a fellowship of believers with a common goal could help people understand that they were loved. He was drafted to do many things at the church because he was a good mediator, which, of course, led him to be elected moderator, whether he wanted it or not. He disliked the politics of the local church, but he understood the power that was held in a group of believers working together. He was a gracious man who was grateful for the gifts of the Spirit. My mother, on the other hand, was a homemaker. Early in life, she had been a secretary with amazing skill to transcribe shorthand and to type. She was the first in our area to own an IBM Selectric typewriter, a marvel of engineering that some of you may have remembered with the lightning-fast ball that impressed the letters onto the paper. I said, "Mom, you're the fastest typist I've ever known." She said, "It's a gift." She was the one that really made me appreciate the joy of being a Christian. She accepted the gift of grace with a passion, making a point to care for and serve others. On my mother's 90th birthday, she gathered the four of us together. And she said, "I want you to know I'm saved. I know where I'm going, so don't worry about me. No matter what happens from now on, I'm covered." My mother passed last August, 2 weeks before her 98th birthday. When talking with people in remembrance of her, there were several younger women, half of her age, who came to speak to me, and they shared that they felt better about themselves after visiting with my mother. The reason was that she lifted them up rather than talk about herself or complain about others. In my last conversation with her, she said, "You know, Hank, we need to plan the next phase of my life." There was no need for a plan. Remember, she was covered. Webster's New World College Dictionary provides the theological definition of grace. It's the unmerited love and favor of God toward human beings. Divine influence acting in a person to make a person pure and morally strong. The condition of a person brought to God's favor through this influence. A special virtue, a gift, or help given to a person by God. Mary Fairchild writes, "God's grace is truly amazing. Not only does it provide for our salvation, it enables us to live an abundant life in Jesus Christ. God's grace is available to us at all times for every problem and need we face. God's grace frees us from slavery to sin and guilt and shame. God's grace allows us to pursue good works. God's grace enables us to be all that God intends us to be. God's grace is amazing indeed. Today you stood and you shouted and you sang and you said, 'Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest,' with the anticipation of an arrival that would change the world. Take the energy and excitement of this day, knowing that God is with us and seen in grace that you have received." In closing, I'd like to share a story from Joan McCarthy, a nurse at the Veterans Administration. She posted, "I was at a grocery store this morning and heard a loud crash of something shattering. Being nosy, I walked towards the sound and saw some people whispering and looking back to the end of the next aisle. When I walked down that aisle, I saw an older lady who had hit a shelf containing dishes with her cart. Many had fallen to the ground and broke. She was kneeling on the floor, embarrassed, frantically picking up the shattered pieces, while her husband was peeling off the barcode of each label, saying, 'Now we'll have to pay for all of these.' I felt so bad for her, and everyone was just standing there and staring at her. So I went and I knelt beside her, and I told her not to worry, and started helping her pick up the broken dishes. After about a minute, the store manager came and knelt beside us. He said, 'Leave it. We'll clean this up. Let's get your information so that you can go to the hospital and have that cut on your hand looked at.' The lady, totally embarrassed, said, 'I need to pay for all this first.' The manager smiled, helped her to her feet, and said, 'No, ma'am, we have insurance for this. You don't have to pay anything. I'd like you to take a moment, no matter where you are in your walk with Christ, close your eyes and imagine God doing the same for you. Collect the pieces of your broken heart from all the blows life has thrown at you. God will heal all your wounds, and I assure you that your sins and mistakes will be forgiven. You see, we all have the same insurance, and it's called grace. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you ask for forgiveness, the manager of the universe, God, will say to you, 'Everything's been paid for. Now go on your way. All is forgiven.' Amen."
Hear these words from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. "Even before God made the world, he loved us. And he chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what God wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace that he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. God is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered us with kindness, along with all wisdom and understanding. And now you've heard the truth, the good news, that God saves you. He has answered our cries for Hosanna. He did this so that we would praise and glorify him. So we're going to continue to do that for the rest of the service. Respond with praise and thanksgiving. Today we receive a special offering, the PCUSA One Great Hour of Sharing. Please turn in the envelopes found in the pew racks, and kids who have brought their fish banks can toss them into the narthex looking for the fishing net. Our God is steady and faithful, consistently at work in our lives, whether we recognize it or not. One of the ways in which we can respond and show God our gratitude is by offering our gifts and tithes and offerings. This morning, we want to acknowledge and give God thanks for the work that he has done, the work that he is doing, and the work that he will continue to do in our lives and at Crossroads. Will the ushers please come forward?